to make sure it doesn't stick.
And
you got to do a boil. You shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry. Stay hungry. Stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. I'm your... hello? my brain just went blank. I started to say three things at once. So that means you know who this is. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. I will be with you until just a little bit before 8 o'clock here on the little station that could. It's the little station that can. And I want to start off tonight's show asking you a special favor. And that is, please think about calling in your membership, renewing your membership. Don't make me beg you as much as we usually have to beg you, you know, because that's usually how it works. We talk and talk and talk, and finally you call because you want us to quit talking and going back to programming. But I'd like tonight to be a little bit different. Our program director, who orchestrates our membership drives, every one of them since I've been here for 13 years, and she does it with extraordinary exuberance and skill, has been called away because of a family emergency. And so we're here without her, and it's a harder way to do a spring or anytime membership drive. So I'm asking you, hey, just go just one little step further. You're already listening, or maybe you're listening online now or later. So just go in faith that we need your help. 707-584-2020 is the number. We have our usual roundup of thank you gifts, lots of them. If I don't give you enough information when I get off the air, I will call you back. And there are people on the phones who can give you the information. Just real quickly, basic membership level is $40. At the $75 level tonight and tonight only, you have your choice of the CD by California Zephyr that were live for 2 hours last week, or a cookbook from the Bagel Cookbooks grab bag. $120, you can have both the CD and a cookbook. And at the dollar a day radio fanatic, you spend more on coffee level, it's the Bagel Cookbooks, a baker's dozen of 13 cookbooks. You tell me the subject you're most interested in or the things you most like, and I will put together that bag for you. Some of the books just sitting here in front of me, a book by Coffee, Scrumptious Streaks and Treats for Coffee Lovers, the Greystone Bakery Cookbook, Foods to Live By, the Earthbound Farm Organic Cookbook, the Organic Food Shopper's Guide from Sonoma County's own Jeff Cox, and the Perfect Recipe for Losing Weight and Eating Great by Pam Anderson, who's been a guest on Mouthful a couple of times, and she's actually a great cook and great writer. So there you go. Started off begging. Maybe it'll work. 707-584-2020 is the number. And now on to a topic that is very dear to my heart, and I'm so glad we have our guests in the studio. Our theme, of course, this year, trains, the little station that could, the little engine that could. And trains are wonderful things, and they used to be all around Sonoma County, and very, very slowly they've disappeared, but their fingerprints are still here and there on the landscape, in the names of certain places. For example, you may not know that Clark Summit Farm, which is selling those $7.50 a dozen eggs and equally pricey little chickens at the farmer's market and to restaurants like Chez Panisse, Clark Summit Farm was named after a narrow gauge railroad on Fallon Road. So there's just little evidence of the period of trains all over. And I sort of think, and I hope that we're going to have another train era in our country. I think it would be a great thing. And on that note, Marie Gewirtz, and Alan Hempel. Thank you so much for being here on Mouthful.
It's a pleasure.
You have a great, fairly recent train story to tell. And I think it's actually where you and I met Marie.
I think it is as well.
Yeah. What was the name of this? It was an antique dining car, correct?
Well, actually, we had two cars that ran in tandem. One of them was named appropriately the Sonoma Valley, which was the dining and entertaining kind of a lounge dining car combination. And then the other car, which also has historical significance, was named the Golden Mission, which was its original name when it ran. But coincidentally, it worked very well for us because of the mission influence here in Sonoma County.
And what did the train, those two trains together, what was your involvement with them, Ellen?
Well, it actually started some years back in 1982 when I was the president of Chateau St. Jean down in the Sonoma Valley. And we really put a large emphasis on one-on-one entertaining and public relations work, bringing in our accounts and really getting close to them rather than paid advertising. We would fly people in from Los Angeles, restaurateurs and wine shop owners, and really immerse them in what we were doing at the winery in those years. And we found it worked very, very well. They became missionaries, if you will, of the St. Jean cause. But we started expanding out of state, and whenever we would go out of state, we realized that that wasn't the experience in a restaurant or a hotel that we were able to have when we had people at the winery. So we started thinking of ways to make the winery portable, if you will. And a number of concepts came up, but none of them really worked. And somebody mentioned that I had some acquaintance with a fellow who owned a private rail car, and that perhaps we could put the food and the wine on the rail car and take it to the marketplace with our winemakers and various people to talk about it. So we tried it on an experimental basis in 1981, I believe, was the first year. And it was such a success in New Orleans and Seattle and a couple of places. We decided to expand it further and actually purchase a couple of cars that we could customize for our use. And It went from there.
Now, how does, literally, nuts and bolts, how does a private rail car work? I mean, I know it doesn't mean you build your own track, because you couldn't do that. So how does a private rail car hook up with the engine that takes the train all over?
Well, you subcontract with Amtrak to haul you, and you're the last two cars on their trains.
Oh.
So you go where Amtrak goes, which, of course, is somewhat of a limiting factor. You can't go where they don't go very well, but there's a tariff that they charge you, and they pull you off in their stations. They've been doing this from some years anyway. There were other private cars other than ours that were running.
Now, did you have to somehow transport the car to an Amtrak station?
Oh, we would move them in freight service. We kept them here in Sonoma County, and they would move in a freight train down to Oakland, which was our departure point, which is the closest connection where we could be put.
So you were hooking up with the California Zephyr.
We were on the California Zephyr almost every train in the United States over a period of years. So.
And then you would go...
Well, what we would do would be to set up what we called a campaign, and we would identify three or four of the markets, like New Orleans, Atlanta, Georgia, perhaps Houston or Dallas, and we'd put the cars on the road for a couple of weeks at a time with our chef, and as we'll probably discuss at a point in time here, eventually all Sonoma County foods were brought in, various produce and things, and we would have events with our distributors and invite restaurant people in for dinner, retail shop owners in for wine tastings and luncheons, and distributor staff would come on board and we'd have training sessions. So it was a pretty intense program. It would go from morning till night, and it was very successful. People who were very jaded about one more rubber chicken bank would come to this. When we went to New Orleans, for example, some of the Brennans that had never been seen at a wine tasting came to this out of curiosity and kept coming over the years whenever we'd come to town. So it became the invitation that made a difference as to whether people would come or not. It was different, and it was exciting in a different sort of way than what they'd experienced.
Mm-hmm. And was it always Chateau St. Jean?
No, we started there, and After Chateau St. Jean was sold, the cars actually belonged to my wife and I, we had built them. She was very instrumental in all the decorations. They were decorated out in a Sonoma County theme with colors and textures that were evocative of actually being here in Sonoma County. That was the whole idea, was to make you feel you'd been here. We would do it, and we did it very successfully there for 4 or 5 years. When Chateau St. Jean sold, I stayed on for a while, and then when I left, I took the cars with me, and
it went from there. And to hear more, stay tuned. Well, I ride on 40 and that'll take Colum here in the studio. It was such a clever promo, too. The point being, 584-2020. Oh. Okay, 584-2020 is the number to call. Become a member. We're going to hear more of train stories, and I think we're just going to go right back to Alan and hear more about that. Now, when I met you and when I met Marie, the trains were parked on, I know it was the east side of 101. Wasn't that a Geyser Peak property?
It was Vinwood at the time.
That was Vinwood.
Oh, that's right.
Business then, but a number of the distributors came back after we were in a new incarnation there, and Marie and I were working together with the Gower Estate project, which was where Vinwood Cellar was.
I remember that.
And they kept saying, "Why don't you bring the train back?" And I said, "Oh, we've done that. It's old hat." And they said, "No, it isn't." So Marie worked up a program, and we put them back on the road again, and very successfully.
I mean, one of the great memories that I have of that time is that we in Sonoma County knew how special our food was, and that everything grew, not just grapes in Sonoma County, that we could grow virtually anything, apples, pears. We had the greatest cheeses. We had lambs. We had chickens. We had foie gras. Everything was
duck.
So duck. We had, you know, so much bounty and appreciated it so much. But when you left Sonoma County, I mean, even to go to the Bay Area, people weren't aware of the abundance of our food here. So Alan and I realized that not only could we be promoting wines on this train, that we could also be promoting food. And I mean, this great realization occurred when we were in New Orleans. Alan had mentioned New Orleans a moment ago with Chateau St. Jean, but we were there and we, you know, everybody thinks of New Orleans with this fabulous food. And so we had our own private chef on board.
Now, who was the chef then?
Matt Gibson. He was my nephew, not coincidentally.
That's right. Did Julia Child have something to do with this too?
Julia Child came to visit us and up at Gower, and
I think I was there.
You
I had
were
lunch
there.
With her.
I have a picture in my office, and you definitely were there.
I need to see that photo.
We all looked about 20 years younger.
Just as a point of correction, our first chef was B. Beasley.
I did not know that.
We got her right out of the California Culinary Academy at St. Jean. So going back to the beginning, it was Bee and then Matt Gibson who stayed on with us.
But how Julia Child became involved with the train is because originally at the beginning with Gower Estate Vineyard, as it had been with Chateau St. Jean, the train traveled and we gathered our food in the cities where we landed.
You did your shopping.
Yes,
your
we did our shopping and then we prepared the food with the chefs. But we were in New Orleans, and we realized that these Gower wines weren't tasting as well as they did at home, and we couldn't quite figure out what the difference was. And the chef went, "I think it's the food. I think these food, you know, these beautiful wines and these mountain wines have to be paired with our Sonoma County foods." So Alan had this idea, and we got back to California and then made all these acquaintances with all the people who were growing the food. And again, there wasn't much collaboration at that time.
Yeah,
this was in
before,
the early 90s.
Before Select Sonoma County.
It was actually Select Sonoma County had just formed. Our contact person. Uh-huh. So we were able to contact them. And so then they were able to gather, like, Tierra Vegetables and CK Lamb, and they did all the gather. We could do one-stop shopping. We would call them, and they would say, well, what, you know, this is what's in season right now, fava beans or raspberries or whatever. And then they coordinated shipping them to the stations, the food in these big, huge boxes to the stations. So then when Julia Child came out many years later, we were the point person for all these food purveyors, and so she came up to Gower State Ranch, which was 5,500 acres above the Alexander Alexander Valley. And you'll remember
we had
an incredible lunch. And she fell in love with Bruce Campbell. I remember she and Bruce were... he was telling her all these...
What's not to love about
he
Bruce?
He was telling her all these lamb jokes. If you're out there, Bruce, I remember those days fondly. And Julia Child, she was not going to leave your side.
Did she have a meal on the train?
She did. She did. I think she had dinner that night, but it was during the same visit. I don't think in Massachusetts, where she lived, that she ever joined us on the train.
No, it was at the winery when it was back here.
Uh-huh. Right. What happened to that property? Is that part of Jackson?
Well, I was involved in the master planning of that for Major Mountain Vineyards, which was our whole theme at Gower, was developing mm-hmm. vineyards up around 2,000 feet and differentiating
that.
Them. And when Mr. Jackson bought the property, basically he also got a very nice master plan, and he immediately saw the potential up there and has carried forth the dream that we started with Ed Gower, and they're making some phenomenal wines from those vineyards now. I've tasted a number of them,
and
so it's nice to see it carried on.
That really was our dream. Our dream was to make sure that this magnificent 5,500-acre property remain in agriculture, you know, for perpetuity, and it has, and it's just beautiful up there.
Okay, well, I want to hear more train stories, but first I think we'll take a musical break.
All aboard the night train! North Carolina.
back to New Orleans, the home of the blues. Oh yeah. Night train, night train.
Ian Bunty, little. Well, we're at trains. One of my favorite subjects. I wrote the California Zephyr. You're going to be hearing a story about that. You're going to be hearing a story about my fairly recent ride on the California Zephyr in a little bit. Had so much fun doing it. We played it last week. We're going to play it again this week. But I also rode the California Zephyr in the opposite direction from Chicago to, I suppose, Oakland, when I was just a few days after my fourth birthday. And it was one of the most important experiences of my life. And it was where I became aware of my palate. And I'll just tell a story really quickly. We, of course, had, you know, a sleeper car. And I had an older half-sister. And I remember being in the dining room, and I was asleep on my mother's lap. And I awoke to her complaining to my sister about the bloody prime rib that she had just been served, because my mother did not eat meat unless it was deeply grayed throughout. And it was like, what could she do? She certainly couldn't eat it. And this little sleepy four-year-old on her lap woke up, looked at this delicious, rare beef, and ate the whole thing. And I still have the children's menu from the California Zephyr. It was an amazing menu. And many, many years later, I wrote the story for what was then called The Independent. And even though at that point I'd been writing and publishing it, writing about Sonoma County food for about 4 years, that story about writing the California Zephyr and eating that prime rib is when I felt myself actually become a writer. I discovered my voice in that story. Oh. And I love looking at that menu. I love reading that story. I love writing on the California Zephyr, and I love writing on any train, pretty much anywhere. So back to, it's the Sonoma Valley. That's right. Sonoma Valley and Golden Mission.
Right.
Yes. Tell us some stories. Tell us some things that happened here and there on the you wouldn't say on the road, you'd say on the track.
On the rails.
Well, taking Sonoma County on the rails.
You know, you go to different places and different things happen, and moving two rail cars that you're really responsible for, separate from Amtrak altogether, other than being pulled. There's mechanical issues.
Oh, so you have to deal with all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're self-contained. They have their own generating systems, their own air conditioning systems, and everything else. So everybody on the car is doubled as a mechanic at times and had different chores. So on one particular trip, we were coming back from Minneapolis, and beautiful warm evening one night, and we were actually doing what we call deadheading, which is just moving without any passengers or any reason other than just getting the cars positioned to Seattle. Mm-hmm. And we had our sales manager, Stuart Bryan. I believe you were on the trip.
I was.
Did you guys sleep on the trip?
They had staterooms and everything
and
else.
Bathrooms.
We had to in order to be self-contained. So it wasn't so much a luxury as it was a necessity because we were moving so quickly. But we woke up in the morning in North Dakota, and what they call an Alberta Clipper had moved in on us during the night, and the temperature was about 20 below, and the snow was blowing in so finely through the cracks under the doors in the cars. And the cars were set up so that they had frost protection, but they weren't used to
20 below
Dakotas at this time of year. So the water pipes gradually started freezing up, and then we started losing some heating systems. And this was right out of the Donner Party by the time we got to Bismarck or somewhere
staying
else.
Staying warm by doing aerobics.
We had an aerobics tape in the VHS player, so we started putting it on, and we started doing aerobics to keep from freezing to death.
You're all taking turns being the teacher.
There are other things that happened when we got to Seattle, when we understood the full nature of the damage that had been done, and water started springing from everywhere, but that's another whole story.
Pipes broke.
Yeah, we weren't mortally wounded, but pretty close to it. But we did the calisthenics and we stayed alive. So that was our Donner Party story. So yeah.
How long a trip? What period of time?
It took 2 nights. So the first night was fine when we left Minneapolis. We woke up to the problem, so we had one full night after that. Yeah.
But I'm actually reminded of one of my favorite stories when you were talking about your food memory at 4 years old. My favorite train story, and when I really, I mean, not that I didn't always appreciate the food of Sonoma County, because I'm from the East Coast, so one of the reasons I moved to Sonoma County was because of the abundance of the food. But we would entertain people as we went, and we would have open houses from 5 to 7 and invite a lot of trade and restaurateurs, as Alan said, and we'd have these magnificent hors d'oeuvres and serve them with the wines and tell people the story about Gower Estate Vineyard and the Mountain Vineyards, and then we would have special guests for dinner and special guests for lunch. But, you know, so it was, you know, long days of entertaining where you'd start with the lunch, then you'd have these open houses, and then you'd go into dinner and fall, you know, into bed by, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and start over and do it again the next day. So we had landed at Union Station in Washington, and we were getting ready for our open house, and it was really hot and humid. It was in the middle of the summer, and we had more people than we could have ever anticipated. I mean, again, as Alan said, in the wine business in the early 90s, people were starting to get a little bit jaded by being invited to dinner and luncheons. It was the same people that were being invited by all of these wineries all over the country. I mean, in California, all these, you know, we were inviting the same media and trade throughout the country. So you didn't expect everybody that you invited to show up. Mm-hmm. But when you would invite them onto a train, even if it's only for an, you know, appetizers and hors d'oeuvres on the train, people show up, and they wanted to see all the rooms, and so people were just spilling out of the vestibules. You know, I mean, the doors were all open, and I mean, there wasn't enough room for the people from the Washington Post, New York Times, all the, you know, radio stations, TV stations. I mean, literally just everybody we invited showed up for this 5 to 7 open house. So I was giving this whole spiel about Gower Estate Vineyard and why mountain grapes were superior, and, you know, why it took them longer to open up, and the red wines and the white wines. And there was this gentle tapping on the door. And, you know, I ignored it, thinking it was somebody who had come late. And then the tapping got a little bit louder, and I continued to ignore it. Do you remember this, Alan? Mm-hmm. And then the tapping got louder and louder. So I sort of motioned to somebody in the back to open the one of the doors that wasn't open. And this guy comes bursting in the door in his little blue shorts going, Federal Express. And so he had this big, huge box of food that had just been delivered for that evening's meal. And
it was
so
flown in, actually.
It was
we did
flown
everything
in.
By
we
Air
did.
Express.
We FedExed, you know, uh-huh, this magnificent food. And so, you know, I was talking about how we had this new program, we were doing it, so everybody was like, you know, trying to rip into these boxes, and they were saying, well, just show us, you know, open the boxes, let's see what kind of food they have. So we had squash, we had raspberries, and the raspberries had gotten a little bit squished, and we were explaining, well, you know, we sort of take what we can get. If it's squished raspberries, then it turns into a frappe, you know, and how the chef has to be so creative with all this food that's shipped. And, you know, a lot of times he didn't know, he would order food that morning, you know, like the day before, but if it wasn't available, then he'd end up with other things. And so he had to be really creative, mm-hmm, in planning these menus and then being flexible enough to change them at the last minute. But you have never seen such a frenzy as these media ripping into these boxes.
Well, we had some credibility at that point. They believed it.
Yeah.
And of course, everybody thought that I had done this as a PR stunt, yeah, that I had hired the FedEx guy, you know, to show up at exactly this point in my presentation. But it was really authentic, and it was really one of the greatest, it was one of my greatest PR moments, actually, because it was so unexpected and therefore so real.
Yeah, did anyone capture that on either video or photography?
Oh, yes. And
I'd love to see those
pictures. It was
pictures.
Great. Yeah, I don't know where they are now, but they not only captured it with photography, but a lot of people wrote about it. And in a lot of ways, that was the beginning of the awareness of Sonoma County's food. Because Alan had this, you know, vision of taking it on the road so, mm-hmm, that people didn't just have to come to Sonoma County to experience it. I mean, Alice Waters was certainly, you know, doing all of this promotion about California food and the incredible attributes of it and the diverse food that was growing here, but it was a tremendous push with media to have them come in Dallas and Ohio and Minneapolis.
Well, the evidence was in Miami. We had a full-color two-page spread for the Wednesday food section. Sonoma County comes to Florida and featuring just exactly what Marie was talking about. You know, the wines were centerpiece, of course, but the food was equally important because that was the Sonoma County story.
And at this point, really, wineries were only trying to attract wine writers, that food writers
yeah,
hadn't
food
been
writers
a part,
at that
of
point
it.
Weren't part of it yet.
And when we saw them just clamoring to get on the train, we thought, we have a real opportunity here. And so you go into places like Texas where, you know, this was a rather new thing, in Minneapolis and Seattle, and so we attracted probably food writers is not as much, if not more, than the wine writers, and it was the beginning of something really special.
So the train started 1981.
We actually launched it in 1982.
Uh-huh. 82, and so it's continuing, focusing on food by the early 90s. So you have to stay tuned if you want to hear what happens next on Mouthful. Okay, it's Mouthful. It's time to talk to you for a little bit. But first, the most important thing, 707-584-2020. It is our spring membership drive. It is the little station that could. It's the little station that can, will, and the little station that did. I'm here in the studio with one of the workhorses of KRCB, my pal, Shelley. Thank you for joining in.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm really happy to be here with you. I think that the shows that you do are so informative and so educational and fun. I mean, F-U-N. You put the F-U-N in K-R-C-B. Is it in there? 584-20.
It's definitely a mouthful.
20. It is a mouthful, yes. And listening to you talk about salt or wine or trains or whatever it is you're talking about just gets me all motivated to come in and do the show after you, which is Outbeat Salon. And frankly, folks, I can't think of a better reason to call than a baker's dozen of cookbooks from Michelle Anna Jordan.
That's the way I first met you, Shelley.
You know,
you got a baker's dozen of cookbooks, and you used them all for Hanukkah presents,
I did.
I remember correctly.
Yep.
So you can do one-stop shopping. Make your phone call. 584-2020 is the number. Tell us your theme. I'll even call you back. If you want to do the baker's dozen, the bag of cookbooks, that's $365. Would I pay a dollar a day for great radio? You Betcha, and I've done it many times, gets you that bag of cookbooks. I'll talk to you about what you'd like, but there are premiums at every level. The main thing is this is our spring membership drive, and if you're listening and you haven't called, you should call. Basic membership level is $40. At the $60 levels, I love, don't you love the thank you premiums at the $60 level this year?
Yes, I do.
There's these really cool bags that instead of having to pull a plastic bag off a roll when you're buying some beautiful organic carrots, you just carry these little reusable bags. And so you feel
and they're
good about
washable.
Yourself. They're washable. You can keep them forever. You get some wildflower seeds from Seeds of Change. Two tickets to Traintown. You do not have to be a kid to enjoy Traintown. Traintown is awesome. If you love trains.
I like the organic coffee myself.
Organic coffee.
Fair trade organic coffee from the little station that could. To me, that's the little coffee place. I mean, what a great partnership we have with TaylorMade Farms.
They've been doing this for a really long time.
This is all about partnership, people, and now is the time for you to call 584-2020. Partner up with the radio station that you love, with Michelle Lana Jordan, who you wait for and can't wait for every Sunday evening. 584-2020 is the number to call. It doesn't even matter what the amount is. If you want to pledge at the $25 level a year, times are tough right now. We know that.
Absolutely.
And we need every bit of support, because here, let me tell you what $25 does here, because we're only trying to raise $28,000 this pledge drive. Other stations are raising $2 million. We are really the little station that can stretch a dollar, people.
We know how to stretch a dollar. We can pull that dollar to make a real long train.
We make her scream, that buck, when we pull her. 584-2020. Oh, I'm in outbeat. I'm sorry. I forgot where I was. I'm in the food section. Go back to food, the wine. Uncork your call. 584-2020.
And let me tell you a little bit more about the thank you gifts, because last weekend we had the wildest 2 hours I think Mouthful has ever had. I don't know if you all know Alan Arnapol. He has been in California Zephyr for 33 years. I knew the band back in the 70s, completely lost touch with them. And Alan used to play and still does the washboard, the banjo, the guitar, sings. He was the yodeler in the band. A couple years ago, I started hearing about this guy over in Napa Valley who was yodeling when he poured wine. Did some research, and sure enough, my old pal is yodeling at Paju Province. Well, he came over here with three other members of the band, and for 2 hours, they entertained with songs about wine. They did a rap song, and I mean, this is a real, real white boy. They did a drop-dead rap song about geology as it related to grapes in Napa Valley. And that's the kind of thing that we managed to bring together and find here. We've been doing it on Mouthful for 13 years, only because a whole bunch of somebody's out there like us, and they call. 584-2020. Anyway, that's
well,
somebody
you got phone calls from New York last
that's
week.
Right.
You got
New York,
a phone
Oklahoma.
Call from Oklahoma. Phone and call from the South Bay.
Was there a phone call from Alaska? Somebody got a phone call from Alaska.
I want a phone call from Sebastopol. I want a phone call from Cotati. A phone call from Rohnert Park.
A phone call from Healdsburg.
Healdsburg would be nice.
Yeah.
How about Windsor? You haven't called yet. 584-2020. It's time for you to go to the phone and let Michelle know that she is actually bringing you A1 grade radio here at KRCB.
And at the $75 level, you'll even get the beautiful, lively, and fun CD by California Zephyr. It's put together with this great book of photographs, and it's all about harvest and wine. So there you go. 707-584-2020. Lawrence, play something so I can quit begging. Train, come and run, run, baby. Yep, it's Mouthful. It's KRCB. It's the little station of the good. Thanks to those of you who have called, and thanks to those of you who are going to call. Those of you who are a little bit shy about calling, maybe you're just in one of those moods, like, I want to listen to the radio. I don't want to talk to anybody. That's why we have the internet. KRCB.org. You can become a member right there. But when you do, please add in the little space for a note that you're doing it for Mouthful. Because, you know, they check it out. They look. Mouthful's not as popular as it used to be, so we don't want that to happen. What we do want to happen, though, is we want to hear more about the trains. And I just so want to jump ahead and ask you where those trains are now, but I don't want you to tell me yet. I want to hear more about the progression of the train. How many miles do you think you put on those cars during this long, decades-long promotion?
Well, I estimated that over the three different companies, really, that we use them in the wine business, that we put over 70,000 miles on them. That's an estimate just based on what I can recollect, probably more than that.
That's back and forth across the country.
It's a lot of times.
That's a lot of time. I should reintroduce my guest, Marie Gewirtz. What's the name of your company, Marie?
Marie Gewirtz Public Relations and Marketing.
There we go. And Alan, what are you doing? Alan Hempel, am I saying that right?
That's correct.
What are you doing now?
I have a consulting company, and I do winery and mainly winery business consulting. Also assist some people in buying and selling wineries. I've slowed down a little bit, but still going full bore. So. I enjoy working in the business, and I'll stay there till I fall off the perch, probably.
So 70,000 miles promoting Sonoma County food and wine. How many stops? Did you ever count that up?
No. Our goal was to be in every major market twice a year, and some of the smaller markets at least once a year. So that would, you know, we concentrated on the major cities around the United States, so probably 20 or 30 major markets that we dealt in over the years.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite stories is when we were in New York for the first time with Gower Estate Vineyard, and we were pretty gutsy in inviting, you know, Danny Myers and all the top restaurateurs. Mm-hmm. There were about 12 of them because the table sat, how many people at the dining?
12.
At 12. And again, we were totally surprised when everybody accepted our invitation. And we thought, oh my gosh, what are we going to cook all these great famous chefs? I mean, we can't possibly. I mean, Matt was just a frenzy in the kitchen going, I can't do this. How, you know, I can't compete with these people. And we assured him that if you just create a menu that shows off the food, the beauty and the simplicity and the freshness of this food, you will be a star. And, you know, it took a while to convince him. He wasn't.
Well, pulled it off, though.
At the time, that wasn't the acceptable thing to do with food. Yeah. And he thought he had to make all these sauces, and he just pure and simply. And remember, we had these magnificent potatoes. We had purple potatoes and white potatoes and lamb. We had CK lamb, Bruce's lamb, and he cooked it to perfection, you know, just with a little bit of, you know, local California, you know, Sonoma County olive oil and rosemary that had been shipped. Everything was as simple and just magnificent.
You know, the sauces were understated to focus on the ingredients and also to go with the wines. Everything was meant to be kind of a symphony of the various flavors and to make sure that the wines fit and the food fit with the wines.
And the asparagus, I remember the asparagus, which is perfect, and we had some white asparagus, and it was just elegant.
I was saying, you know, those were the days when there were two farms, southwestern Sebastopol, I think, or South Sebastopol, where they were growing the most incredible
Boletto Farms.
Oh, was it Boletto that was doing
asparagus? Yeah, it was Boletto Farms.
I didn't realize it was Boletto.
They had
Why did he
so
quit?
Many beautiful things. Well, they're now vineyards. They're making wines.
I always thought it was a smaller farm on the other side of town that was doing the white asparagus.
There may have been.
There may have been.
We had a variety of vendors. Dragonfly up in Healdsburg.
Yeah, and they were doing vegetables.
And it varied. And really, the Sonoma Select people moved the action around to whoever had the best thing at a point in time. And
yeah, I think there, because there was the thin white asparagus, but then there was the big fat white asparagus, and I think that was over in the Hessel.
It probably was
Hessel area, and I still think about how that that stuff
was
incredible. So good.
And then Malcolm's mushrooms from Gourmet Mushrooms. We just discovered those.
Laura Chanel Chev, I'm sure.
Gorgeous.
And we had CK lamb. We had oysters from
Hog Island.
Hog Island oysters.
And then we also had Redwood Hill. Their goat cheese was brand new at the time. I mean, it was a time when we were all young and we were just starting with this, and it was so much fun.
I think what we backed into was something almost serendipitously. That's a long word for a short meaning, but we found out that people love trains. You mentioned it earlier. Everybody loves trains. That's a worldwide phenomenon. It isn't just American. The British love their trains.
The trains in Europe.
And
the trains in India.
There's a romantic notion of them that sometimes exceeds reality, but the people's view of trains, they also love great food, and they love great wine. And the coincidence of those things, all romantic, all considered to be signs of the good life, really work when you put them all together, and that's what we found out. Those three elements combined reinforced each other. So any one by itself would have been fun, but the three of them together was really a pretty potent combination for marketing.
Yeah, and then people would walk into this kitchen and think that Matt, you know, was this magician, because it was this tiny. How big was that kitchen, Alan?
It was pretty small. It was about 6 feet wide by about maybe 10 feet long.
And he would create these masterpieces. But, you know, you talk about the romance of the wine and the food on a train, and it is all very romantic until you start trying to pour wine. You're going across this curve. And I remember there were times when I would be pouring wine and the glass would just escape me. And you had to be so delicate and so elegant, and it was pretty funny. I mean, we created lifelong friendships with some of the people that came on the train, because it was such an adventure.
Yeah, there were two pieces of it. The one where we were stationary, which the majority of the people got to involve themselves in, but then a few people, to the extent that we could accommodate them, would have an opportunity sometimes to ride to the next station, and either overnight or just for a day trip, and we'd get them back to where they started. Obviously, we had to limit ourselves there. We all worked hard. My wife was a partner in this whole thing, and she'd be making beds and washing dishes and stuff and everything else. So it was glamorous in one sense, but it was also very demanding in terms of the time and physical effort to do it.
Well, that was the other part of the funny story, is that you'd be, you know, scrubbing windows and, you know, doing all this work for the upkeep, and then within 20 minutes you'd have to go change and come out looking really elegant with your pearls. And Alan's wife, Sharon, was always the master at that. I mean, she would turn into this magnificently elegant woman, you know, and people would say, was that you that I just saw a half hour ago?
Yeah, there's another whole story there, too.
But anyway, it was an adventure all the way along, and truly, I think, one of the greatest memories of my career in the wine and food business.
Well, how did it begin to wind down?
Well, I think it wound down when I got out of the mainstream of the wine business. It was an effort that involved a lot of personal hard work, and you know, I'm not saying I. There was a team that did it, but we got out of the brand and into the business when we sold our last company, and it had run its course by then, and so we had an opportunity to change our life, and it was one of those things you look back on and say, gee, we're glad we did that, but we weren't going to do it till I was 90 years old, so we had an opportunity to sell the cars, and we did that 7 years ago, actually. So it's been a couple of years since we did it.
So who bought the cars?
There's a gentleman down in, has the cars down in Redwood City, and he's changed the motif. He uses them in charter service, and, you know, I don't think they would look the same. To him, they look beautiful, but we had them done in a certain way that was important to us.
Yeah, they were really beautiful. I loved being in them.
Well, what Sharon did when she renovated them was she really tried to keep them in the 1940s motif, that she respected the period that they were from, and did an amazing job of, as Alan said, turn them into Sonoma County sort of 1940s motif.
Peggy Sanders was an artist at that time that was doing oil paintings here, quite well known.
Mm-hmm.
And
know,
we
know.
Commissioned her actually to decorate the cars with paintings that had different scenes in the county, and again, the colors and the wood and everything else was really something that made you experience Sonoma County in a way that was special.
How were the trains documented as far as photography? I mean, do you have something that might at some point appear in a book, be turned into a book? I mean, is there a story that the world will ever have about these trains?
They were featured in a magazine that's devoted strictly to private cars. We still have copies of that. There was a feature article done on them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'll send you one after.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
There were a number of movies, not movies, but TV stations that documented it. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know whether they keep archival footage mm-hmm. That far back. We've got some of our own videos that were done at different points in time by people. So there's a pretty good history of them that's still out there.
Mm-hmm. We were on the news quite a bit. I mean, it would be, you know, one city we'd be on mm-hmm. the news, and, you know, the next day we'd be in a different city and on the news. Mm-hmm. People, media really picked up on this story.
Yeah, we cut a pretty wide swath where yeah. we went for a while. It was good fun.
Yeah, I mean, we were always on the, you know, front page of the food section the following week, and as Alan said, there was just tremendous interest in it. It never really died down. I think the nature of your business changed before the interest in the trains changed.
Well, in fact, the ultimate endorsement was that a few wineries here a year or so ago put together a tour, and they leased two private cars, and they went to some markets and replicated what we did. Some of them didn't even know it had been done before, right. Which is fine. I mean, there's no pride of authorship in the concept, mm-hmm. but it was good to see somebody doing it again.
Doing that,
and
yeah.
I guess it was magic just like it was before, uh-huh. from what I understand.
I think any time you ride a train, it is magic. And, you know, there's a certain magic to radio, too. And for me, it's just been a real pleasure to combine, because I do Mouthful because I love radio. And I also love trains. So thanks so much, Alan. Alan,
well, we're glad to be here, and we hope we add a little bit to your drive here. It's a worthy cause, and everybody should contribute.
And thank you. And Alan put his money where his mouth is. They, but Marie and Alan both became members, and I also want to thank another new member, Nadine Beecham. Thank you so much. And there's still an opportunity for you to call the number 584-2020. If you're listening online, it is 707-584-2020. All of those thank you gifts are still available, so you have a chance to call before Outbeat Salon starts in just a few minutes. What are we going to go out with, Lawrence? Okay, we've got a great song coming up for you. We've got some great shows coming up in the next few weeks here on Mouthful, but I feel like we always have great shows here on Mouthful because there's so many interesting people either here doing things in Sonoma County or passing through Sonoma County, and, you know, this is the little station that likes to tell everyone's stories. Looks like it's going to be a great... It's 2 hours on Outbeat Salon tonight, right, Shelley?
That's right.
2 hours coming up on Outbeat Salon. Always a fun show. So thank you if you called. Thank you if you're going to call. Do it now so I can go home in a really, really, really good mood. 707-584-2020 is the number. Meet me back here next week for another episode of Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour on KRCB, the little station that can.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthfuls@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.
Every woman, a child and man, sang to the Lord that praises me.
Presentation of Mouthful on KRCB is made possible by our members and by NetBooks, complete business management software for companies of up to 50 people, including wineries and food producers. Information available at netbooks.com or by phone at 86-NET-BOOKS.
Preacher, he stopped preaching, and a hush the church did fill.
Support for Mouthful comes from KRCB Radio members and from JAG Public Relations, providing comprehensive marketing for the hospitality industry with an emphasis on wine, food, and beverages. JAG Public Relations will manage your web content and provide your graphic and still photography needs. More information at 707-795-9400 or at jagpublicrelations.com. We also have support from River Rock Casino, Sonoma County's 24-hour entertainment destination, just off Highway 128 on the Dry Creek Rancheria in Geyserville.
I know she's cooking something good, so let's bar his frame.
Sing to the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said.
Moral of the story is you're listening to KRCB Santa Rosa, listener-supported and locally produced public radio for Sonoma County and the North Bay, and streaming in the World Wide Web at krcb.org. Coming up is Outbeat Salon, and support for Outbeat Salon comes from you, our KRCB members, and from PFLAG, the North Bay chapter of Parents, Family, and Friends of Lesbians, Gays, Transgender, and Intersex Persons. The Santa Rosa chapter meets at 7:30 p.m. on the fourth Monday of the month at 312 Chin Street. More information.